This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. I had one of these boomer nights where you cannot go to sleep after watching the sporting events because it was as crazy as you could possibly imagine. For the Knicks and Islander fan, what happened in that short amount of time as you watch the Knicks make this unbelievable comeback and have one of the great sequences they have had in Knicks playoff history to win game two against the Sixers. I flipped over right back to the Islander game, and 228 is what I saw when I flipped over. 228, 3-1 lead, and then watched it all crumble. We'll get to the Islanders later because this Knicks game was just insane. And when you think about memories in the playoffs, I remember the Allen Houston shot against the Miami Heat, game five in the first round. Obviously, the LJ four-point play. We talked so much about that yesterday. But the people that were in that building last night, they're never forgetting that. That was as good as it gets. And I don't want to hear about any foul calls that were missed, all the bitching that the Sixers were doing. That was an all-time win by the Knicks. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great, G. And here's the great thing about being 63 years old. I can remember games just like this when Walt Frazier was running the team back in the late 60s and the early 70s. Now, there was no three-point line, obviously, so he would have to manufacture a steal, get into the lane like Jalen Brunson does, jump up, fake he was jumping, have the defender jump, and he would jump into him, and he would throw it into the basket, and somehow he'd come out with a three-point play, then steal the ball next, hit another one, and then get fouled, and then hit two foul shots, and everybody would go home. So I immediately thought back to those great Red Holtzman teams who would do what the Knicks did last night. And, you know, this is why, and, you know, it doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, it is incredible. It is amazing. And watching, like, Hartenstein basically come down with a rebound, throw it to
Ananobi,
then Ananobi throw it to DiVincenzo.
Who just bricked the three 5 seconds earlier.
I mean, but that's championship DNA.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, like, they didn't play great last night. Obviously, did not get off to a great start. And Jalen, I thought, started as the game got on, got more into it, and was better and better and better. He only plays eight guys. You know, by the way, the Sixers are only playing eight guys. These guys are playing balls to the wall. This is like NBA basketball at its finest, with the intensity, with the defense, with the guys diving all over the place. And I would just say this, you know, as a Knicks fan and as somebody who has bitched about the referees for I don't know how many years I've been on this radio show. When it goes against a New York team, or there's a blown call in the Super Bowl or whatever it may be, if I'm the 76ers, I mean, I do have a claim. I mean, like, the Knicks got almost every call last night, which was great. I'm happy about that. And they made the most of it. Even when they're not at their best, they're able to win these games, which tells you more about the team and who they are, and their character and how they go about their business. And but if you watch Josh Hart during the whole game,
yeah, didn't come off the floor.
I don't know where he finds the energy in the fourth quarter. I mean, he is crashing the boards. His head is above the rim. He's tipping balls. He's diving on the floor. I mean, again, you know, the three Villanova guys. I mean, that says a lot about Jay Wright. Says a lot about their championship teams. I mean, and they come through big. And yeah, I think I was reading something yesterday that. The Knicks don't have a first-round draft choice, you know, on the floor.
Well, I think I don't think that's totally true, because I think DiVincenzo was
that's right, late,
drafted
late first,
number
first,
16 right. overall, and that is the highest out of everybody that they have, which is incredible and tells you a lot about these guys' personalities. But this is the way that this series is over. Joel Embiid is right. Like, the series is over. It's just that the Knicks are going to win it, because the way that the 76ers reacted after this game, after blowing it, just shows me that they are losers. They are absolute loser mentality. Nick Nurse saying, I was trying to call a timeout, but I guess, you know, they're not paying attention to me. I went back and watched the tape. No, it's that you were not doing it properly. First of all, your hands were over your head. And then when you were trying to call a timeout, Maxey didn't even have the ball. So that was nonsense. Embiid guaranteeing that they're going to come back and win the series, and then complaining about the no fouls. I mean, they blew that game. I mean, they were up and in control of that game for a majority of the first half. It felt like they were up 9 for the entire first half. The Knicks cut it down. And then, you know, they storm back after the Knicks are up 8 in the fourth quarter, and had right at their fingertips after that Maxey three that was crazy. It was a Steph Curry-like three. And I thought the game was over at that point, and they choked. And that they choked. That's the bottom line, and the Knicks took it from them. They opened the door with a little choking, and the Knicks came right through and won the game. I don't want to hear about the no timeouts, the fouls, none of that. The Knicks are a better team. They're more resilient. They're not excuse-making, which is everything that the Sixers were last night. And yeah, Jalen Brunson has not been good. He has not been himself. But when you need a three, what does he do?
He comes up with an unbelievable three and you know, pretty lucky bounce. But it's not lucky, because he's done it before and he'll do it again. And he's just a tremendous leader of the team. I kind of feel like the heart and soul of the team, right, literally is Josh Hart right
yeah.
now with the way that he's playing. But I know that Jalen is, you could see it in his face that he's frustrated. It's almost like, every series he's got the ball in his hands. You know, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of heavy lifting. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And he's up to it. And he's been up to it. But, you know, you can't shoot 8 for 29.
No, and they're not going to be able to advance further in the playoffs if he continues to shoot like that. But this is what is so encouraging about this team, is they've been able to win these two games with Jalen Brunson not nearly being at his best. And the evolution of the team during the game, and how everybody contributes when Jalen isn't his best, is what makes me think that anything is possible for them. And he'll get better. He's not going to have an entire postseason shooting that poorly. But think about the contributions. My goodness, Isaiah Hartenstein, he gets the ball, that little tiny floater he's been doing the entire season. He never misses that.
Yeah.
He never misses that. And then Bogdanovich comes into the game, bang, bang, 2 threes.
And finally, that's exactly the guy that you're trading
just
for.
Just all over the place.
Yes.
Deuce McBride, which, by the way, this play will go unnoticed after the way that the game ended with the 2 threes and DiVincenzo. But I thought that the I guess, personification or the microcosm or whatever you want to say of this particular series and these two teams was Deuce McBride ripping the ball away from Maxey, taking it right from him and going up and scoring right in his face. I mean, the fact that Maxey's holding on to the ball, Deuce just like a bully in the schoolyard, grabs the ball and then lays it up. I mean, that was embarrassing for the Sixers. Everything was embarrassing for the Sixers. And for the Knicks fans that witnessed that last night, we've been at big games at the Garden for both teams, but Knicks games when you have magical things like this, I mean, I just, you'll never forget it. I mean, those 2 3-pointers, I just, it was shocking. I'm still completely shocked by that result and the Islanders result.
I just go back to when I was a kid watching Clyde Frazier and that team, and I remember my dad said, don't turn the TV off. Don't ever turn the TV off when they're on, because you never know what they were able to do, like what the Knicks did last night.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of and I don't remember any specific games. I just remember that they were never out of a game. That's what I remember, and that's kind of how I feel about this team. This team's never really out of a game. Listen, they could have a blowout game in Philadelphia. Who knows? I mean, all of that stuff can switch on a heartbeat. Like you saw it last night in the hockey game. You know, you get up 3-0, you're hanging on. They're playing it all in your zone the whole freaking second and third period. And just eventually it just comes crumbling down and collapses. Now, I think the Knicks may have one of these games in Philadelphia. I don't care. Madison Square Garden is alive, man.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a home court advantage. I don't care what anybody says. You know, most NBA teams will tell you they don't really worry about playing on the road, or maybe the MSG brings out the best in them. But finally, we have turned a corner. And, you know, the Knicks have a home court advantage that is significant. And you could feel it through the TV.
Yeah, and I know that Embiid, you could clearly tell that he was struggling. He was limping. There was that period when he was on the bench and he was getting the treatment from the trainer. And, you know, Maxey came into the game as questionable with an illness. But ultimately, if you look at the stats at the end of the game and watch these guys, those guys were great. I mean, the two stars for the 76ers showed up last night and got their numbers and controlled the game for a majority of the game, and the Knicks still won Jalen Brunson having the shooting night he had.
I thought the Tobias Harris was going to come alive.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's the guy that probably needs to come alive for them, and he knocked down a couple yesterday, and I think Mike Breen even said it, you know, all of a sudden, you know, if he gets going, or Clyde said it, one of the two, if he gets going, it's going to be a problem for the Knicks. But I don't know. There's something resilient about the team, which is a reflection maybe of their coach and just maybe who they are as people and players.
Yeah.
From their days at Villanova, especially the Villanova 3. But Precious Achiuwa did not play again last night. Ananobi played a lot. I mean, you know, Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein are trying to, or Stein, whatever the hell it is.
Stein.
They're trying their damnedest to slow down Embiid. He's almost impossible to slow down. I don't know if you remember this play, too. It was late in the game. Embiid's got the ball, and he's going down the lane for a layup. And I think Josh Hart is there, and he's planted, and he's outside the half circle. And Embiid comes down with, an elbow.
Yeah, this is what I mean.
He's right to his, right to Hart's chest.
I know.
And Hart is called for the penalty.
Yeah,
for the
foul. No, I know. I mean, in that, there was something earlier, too, when they went for the review in the first half, where Josh Hart got, you know, basically ran into Joel Embiid. And, you know, at that point, I checked out the national broadcast, and Stan Van Gundy was talking about, oh, there's nothing to see here. I don't know why they're reviewing this. And yeah, it was an unfortunate circumstance that they collided in that way. But still, Embiid is just, he's always got something flying. There's always arms going, which is to credit to him. I mean, he's so big and he gets away with a lot of that stuff. But I mean, yes, I do remember that play as well. And he's going to get a lot of those calls, which is funny because, you know, Joel Embiid is probably, you think about all the guys in the NBA who the referees swing their way. I mean, Joel Embiid is probably in the top 3 or 4 on that list. But then the second that things don't go the Sixers' way, they're talking about screaming and yelling about how they're swallowing the whistles. I mean, you know how hard it was to choke away that game in that situation for the Sixers? And they're going to sit there and blame the officials and not themselves? That's how I knew the series was over. Right then, when they didn't take any responsibility, well, mainly, you know, Embiid, Maxey, Nick Nurse especially, who's a championship coach, by the way, just shocked that he handled it the way that he did with the sour grapes.
Well, I think he is just doing his team a favor. He's trying to, you know, take some of the pressure off of them. I don't know. It's all mind games. It's all psychology. It's all.
I just think he was a complaining baby. I honestly think it was emotional.
But I'm just telling you why he's doing it.
Yeah, no, I think, I think I disagree. I think that this was not a mind game thing. I think it was fresh off of the floor, and he was embarrassed that his team choked it away, and he was making excuses. And that's what I think happened. I don't think he was had the wherewithal in that situation to be like, all right, I'm going to take this tact and sound like a baby up here behind the microphone to inspire my team. I just think that it was a sour grape situation.
Skinny vegan hipster.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I don't know if Nick Nurse is vegan, but he's basically those other things. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I also have to say that I am wrong, and I'm a big enough man to admit when I'm wrong.
Okay.
Okay. So,
you want to save this for a little bit later?
No. I mean, Zach Wilson did not go to Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I understand.
But I did say that they were going to have to flip. They were going to have to flip some sort of draft compensation and eat some of the money. I did say that.
Right. You couldn't be totally wrong about something and admit it. You'd have to find a way to make it seem like you were right about it.
He's not going to Minnesota.
Zach Wilson sucks.
He's Nick Nurse here making excuses.
He's out of here now.
Can't just be like, we blew the game.
Well, he's out of here.
Yep, thank God.
I thought he would be a perfect fit in Minnesota. Sorry about that. I know you were looking for
Zach stinks.
Oh, my God. You got to kick the guy while he's on his way out of town.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been perfect for Minnesota because that would have been, loser meet loser. I mean, that would have been a exact perfect spot for him. But yeah, it didn't happen. So they got Sam Darnold instead. Great.
All right. Well, there you have it. A lot of news yesterday.
Yeah, there was a lot. And Jerry's going to get to all of it coming up with his first update of the morning. I'll have all that baby crying sound from the 76ers last night. Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid's guarantee, if you will. It's all coming up. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A wild night, a tremendous comeback by the New York Knicks, one that we will not soon forget, especially if they win this series and go on to have a great playoff run. And up 2-0, it feels pretty good right now because their best player hasn't even played all that well, at least for him. Jerry Recco's here with all that sound and more. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. So rather than play it piece by piece, I left these three plays in sequence all together. It's 30 seconds. The great Mike Breen, here's the deal with the Sixers. They're up by 5. Kyle Lowry just missed a free throw. Knicks come up. They're moving around in the front court. Time is winding down as we get inside 30 seconds.
Brunson, sidestep, three-pointer. Shot. It's good. Took the bounce and went in.
and Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
That was indeed Mike Green on
NBA.
Great rebound by Hartenstein.
And then how about the block he had after the timeout?
Oh, yes.
I mean, pretty damn good. Knicks come back and really stun the Sixers, 104-101.
What do you think it's like to hit that three, turn around, flex like Dante DiVincenzo was, and look at that crazy Garden crowd? Like, that's got to be one of the all-time feelings.
Adrenaline rush.
I mean, to hit that three, to turn around, and then look at that crazy crowd. I mean, and I know this guy won a championship in college, but that's got to be one of his all-time moments.
I would certainly think so.
I would say so, too. And those three guys and Achua and Hartenstein, I mean, the fact that how many balls they tip, how many balls are stolen, how many key rebounds they've been able to get.
Yeah.
Like I said, they got to win two more games in this series. There may be a game here or there where they're completely cold and they can't do that. But, you know, just these last two games, to not be playing their best, but it's saving their best for the end.
They're playing harder.
They're playing defense is what they're doing.
Which they've done all season long. And the Sixers are playing defense, too.
Yep.
The Knicks are just killing them on the backboards with big rebounds. Here was, so this is to your point about the crowd. Here's DiVincenzo on MSG afterwards.
Listen to this. This is what we do. This is who we do it for. That's it.
2-0 going to Philadelphia for game three. Here was Hartenstein afterwards. How about your rebound and your block? Pretty big plays in this game.
I mean, I think a lot of guys came up with gritty plays, rebounds, big rebounds at the end, free throws, Josh getting the steal, Dante making a big shot. I mean, it was really everybody.
And that, you know, you look at Maxi. Maxi hasn't been stopped both games, and to hit to stop him there was... That was the game.
Yeah. I mean, when he gets running downhill like that, it's incredible, and he usually finishes. And I thought the way as crazy as that game was going, I thought there was 100% that he was going to score there. I mean, that was, it was just the heart in the mouth the entire time. And I was convinced. I mean, I hate to say that I thought they had lost the game after that Maxi three, that deep three that he had. But I was convinced.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this sucks. You made the comeback. You lost it. They'll still win the series, I hope. But, just incredible.
Here was Deuce McBride. Is that the coolest game you've been a part of?
I think so, especially at this level, playoff basketball. And just to find a way at the end to pull it out like that, I mean, shows the fight this team has, honestly.
All right, so now on the other side of things, obviously not so good with Philadelphia, and I couldn't agree with you more with the whole Nick Nurse thing. I mean, you want to call timeout, you better be a little bit more demonstrative. Let them know you're calling timeout.
So I go to the Islander game right after the end of this. I don't watch any post game. So then I hear him while I'm driving in bitch about this. So I'm like, okay, let me take a look at the video when I get in here. Is he serious?
I agree.
Especially when he says, I looked at the video to make sure. I mean, this guy's lying through his teeth.
He's barely calling timeout. I agree. Here he is, unhappy with the officials.
He saw me calling timeout. I just watched the film just to make sure. And I'm clearly calling timeout. I didn't see if he looked at me in the film, but I could see me clearly calling timeout twice.
So
when your guy didn't have possession!
Right.
I mean, he's going like this when Josh Hart has the ball in his hand.
Exactly.
Look at that rebound.
Woof.
And then here was Embiid. This was the clip you were talking about.
We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Game three, Thursday night in Philadelphia.
Again, now this is his channeling his inner Mark Messier, I understand.
We're outside!
Yeah, well, you know, if I were Tom Thibodeau, I'm playing that in front of my players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think the Knicks are a type of team that needs any extra motivation, but if they do, Joel Embiid provided that to them. I mean, they got to be so frustrated, though, to have both Maxi and Embiid have the games that they had, to be essentially dominating most of the first half, then sustain after the Knicks are up 8 in the fourth quarter, come back, have Maxi hit that three, and still lose the game?
Yep.
I mean... How could you have any confidence if you're the Sixers? Plus, you got Embiid, who's getting a massage on his knee during the game with a towel over his head. He's nowhere near 100%.
And now you got to deal with Spike Eskin down there on WIP.
At some point, I'll go to their podcast and see what that reacts. Because remember, Levin was very upset with the first game.
Got to win that game. Got to win that game.
And then I know it didn't work out so well for Brandon with the unkillable with the Jets. This feels like an unkillable team.
I agree. Especially when you talk about the Julius Randle injury, like Aaron Rodgers going down, Jets were dead. Julius Randle going down, the Knicks are not.
You make the case they're almost better in a weird way.
You know, I forget who said this. It might have been C-Mac, but I'll agree with it. I can't take credit for it. I don't think they're a better team necessarily, but I don't think that their ceiling got decreased with Julius Randle out. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, it's marginally. It's not enough to sink them.
Yep. And hasn't. Let's get to a couple of the other games. So Denver was down by 20 to the Lakers, and yet here they were with the ball in the final seconds.
4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray got it at the horn. Denver mounts the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101 to 99 is the final. And the Lakers can take
Anthony Davis here
on the way out.
That's a shame.
So on the video, you see Anthony Davis falls into the Denver bench.
Yeah.
And they are going crazy.
Yeah. It looks like when you drop a French fry on the ground in the summer and the ants come after it. That's what that looked like.
Yeah, he's wearing his yellow uniform, and I mean, he is like falling back into the bench after Murray actually elevates and goes over him.
And then he gets lost in a sea of players.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then Murray had a tough shooting night, yet hit the big shot. He says his guys believed in him.
I told my teammates when I was struggling, like, I'm going to look for y'all.
Hey,
watch out there, Potty.
Wow.
Yeah. BS floater.
That was put in the system without a beep. That's pretty funny. That was on TNT. Then there's LeBron James. Now we're going to tie it all back to the Knicks.
Here we go.
So LeBron unhappy with a specific play, on D'Angelo Russell. And then it comes back to New York. These are bleeped out.
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f***? Do we have a replay center? Is going to go... It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
I don't know any of these. I don't know exactly what he's referring. I don't know if he's talking about the timeout that Nick Nurse was talking about.
The officiating is what he's talking about.
But what specifically about the Knicks Sixers? You talk about no foul on Maxey that was called when he got the ball stolen from him. Is he talking about Nick Nurse not getting the timeout, which we know was a farce? I mean, what was it?
Not sure, but he was very unhappy. And the other game last night was the Cavaliers beating the Magic 96-86. Remember good old Jared Allen, the former net, 16 points, 20 rebounds, and 3 block shots. All right, we get to the Islanders. So they led 3-0 in the second period. And then you get the game-time goal from Sebastian Aho with 2:15 to go on regulation. And then, literally, 9 seconds later.
Oh, look out. Here they scored! It bounced to Jordan Martinook. An absolute stunner here in game two.
And that was Brendan Burke with the call on MSG.
I know it was a stunner because there's 2 goals in 9 seconds, but... Like this is the analogy I came up with. When you're carrying a bag of groceries that is too full for a paper bag, and eventually all the groceries are going to fall out of the bottom of it. Like, that's what watching this game was. Like, they couldn't make it to the door before all the groceries fell out of the bottom of the bag because they were getting their asses kicked this entire game. It was just a matter of time. And unfortunately, they got really close. They got 2.5 minutes close to winning the game, but it just fell apart.
I think the Islanders had 39 or 36 block shots, and they only had 12 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Hard to win.
I think they had 1 shot on goal after their third goal in this game. Now, a lot of people think that the Hurricanes are the team that is going to represent the Eastern Conference. They are a good team. I mean, they're a great team. I mean, they swarm on you. And, you know, Varlamov was, you know, hanging on for dear life.
Yep.
And it looked like to me, I don't know, just, you know, the skill and the speed of the Carolina Hurricanes just seemed to be too much for the Islanders. That's all.
Here was Patrick Waugh.
They took the game, you know. It took charge of the game and with the penalties, and then they took advantage of their power play and to score that one goal, and then they got some momentum. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Islanders have done this all year, too, blowing these leads. And
yes.
I mean, I understand that they're not the greatest offensive team, but how about tacking on another goal as opposed to sitting here and trying to hang on? I mean, but they had no shots on goal.
You know,
it's just like they were trying to hang on, and it just doesn't work when you're trying to protect the lead like that and not doing anything offensively. It's not going to work.
But you know what happens in the second period? They switch ends, the goalies do.
Yeah.
So that means the benches are farther away from your defensive zone. Mm-hmm. I think the Islanders at least three or four times got hung up in their offense or their defensive zone for over 2 minutes. And that is like, you know, like for the guys that are left on the ice, it's just gas.
And I know it's different, but it does feel like the NFL's prevent defense.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm not saying that they weren't trying to score. They just couldn't get possession of the puck.
Yep. Mm. Game 3 Thursday night at UBS Arena. Tonight you got the Rangers and the Capitals game 2 of their series. I'll do the Mets quickly first just because their game was late last night. I'm sure a lot of people didn't stay up to watch it, but you remember this old pal.
Jose Quintana's first pitch in the bottom of the sixth to Michael Conforto is crushed in the air to deep right field. It is out of here. On to Levi's landing right over the 24-foot high brick wall and right.
And that was Keith Radd on WCBS 880. 5-2 Giants beat the Mets. Conforto, that home run. Matt Chapman, a two-run double. And Keaton Wynn, six innings for the victory. Pete Alonso did homer in the loss. So the Mets drop back-to-back games, now 12-10 with that loss. You got Luis Severino on the mound tonight. Again, another 9:45 start. Logan Webb the start for San Francisco. All right, let's get to the game at the stadium yesterday afternoon. Yankees, A's. First, I'll give you the way it ended. So very little offense, really no offense in this game for the entire afternoon.
Three hits for the Yankees.
Yeah, and the A's didn't have much more going into the ninth inning. And then all of a sudden...
2-2 lifted in the air. Right field, it's deep. Soto moving back. Soto looking up. It is gone. A home run into the porch in right field for Zach Gelof. A two-run homer for the young second baseman, his third of the season, and the first runs of this ball game come in the top of the ninth.
And now they'd be the only runs. 2-0 was the final. Justin Shacklewood, Susan there on the fan. So the Yankees lose the game 2-0. Okay, fine. J.P. Sears, two relievers combined on the three-hitter, 11 strikeouts. Now, we go to the first inning, the very first inning. The game had just started. And then you hear this after the hit by pitch and then the back and forth.
So Rodon hits Ruiz, speedy runner on the first base bag, and the first pitch to Tyler Nevin is a called strike.
Tyler Nevin hitting 286.
Guess what? You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. Got anything else to say?
Well, those microphones work really well, Susan, down
well,
the field.
Well, that's what happens when you have an echo in here. There's not. Well, did everybody hear that? It was. He didn't swear or anything. It was fine.
And Hunter Wendelstedt has just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy.
Hunter Wendelstedt.
I feel like he was umping games when I was 17.
Yeah, probably was. Yeah.
God. It's amazing. So,
and
yeah.
If you hear the audio, too, he goes, I don't care. He goes, I didn't say it. He goes, I don't care. I was like, okay. Now you're just being a big, fat dope.
Exactly. So here was Boone on the ejection and what happened.
I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, it's embarrassing.
So who's the fan in the blue that ends up getting this guy thrown out?
I don't know.
I mean, that guy's sitting,
that guy right there sitting front row.
Yeah, like, what is he yelling?
I don't know. But
we
the
know
one
who
thing
the
that's,
fan is. They found him.
They did find him.
They did find him, yes.
Okay. Have we heard from him? Did he say what he said?
Somebody's going to track him down somewhere.
No, they did track him. I saw where they tracked him down, but I'm... Oh, man, I got to find it now.
Here, by the way, Hunter Wendelstedt's father, also named Hunter Wendelstedt, was an umpire.
Okay.
That's why.
And that does make sense. When I was a kid, he was doing games.
Yeah.
I mean, not him, but his dad. Here was Anthony Rizzo. Bizarre ejection.
It has to be somewhere. I've never seen it, but I think Ausmus just wanted to
managing against his former team that he was with last year.
Maybe. And then one more just actually on the game itself. So Aaron Judge goes 0 for 4, strikes out two more times. His batting average now 174. Juan Soto, though, comes to his defense.
He's a great hitter. When you see him out there, he's grinded every day. He's trying to find his timing and his swing. And he's going to get it one day. So I'm not worried about him at all.
I would agree, but right now, not going well for the big fella as the Yankees fall to 15-8. You got Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight. Again, here on The Fan. Also should not be lost. Carlos Rodon did throw 7 innings of one-hit ball. Gets nothing to show for it, but did pitch very well. And then the Jets with this trade with the Broncos, Zach Wilson to Denver. They also give them a 7th-round pick, and they pay half the salary, and they get back a 6th-rounder for him.
Yeah, it's finally over.
There you go.
We all knew that it was over, but it's now officially over.
Could you imagine the day of the draft when they take Zach Wilson? But prior to... They were what, number 2 overall?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you imagine if I would have told you guys in 3 or 4 years they're going to trade their number 2 overall pick for a 6th rounder, plus they're going to give him a 7th, and they're going to pay the salary.
Right.
All that part of it I could see because of what happened with him. But everybody in that draft class got traded.
I know. I'm just saying, like, this, the draft is a farce.
Every quarterback in that draft class.
I have Zach's back.
Okay.
Well, go to Denver.
Playoffs with Zach.
Imagine if I told you back when Zach Wilson got drafted that Zach would be off the team, their current starting quarterback thought that the Clintons killed JFK Jr.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah. All right, Puriggio coming to you live for the Built Ford Top Studio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, this Islander loss last night is very reminiscent to the old Spike game when we lost to the Dolphins. Like, you feel like you have the game under control, things are going your way, everything is fine. You may have lost your offensive way a little bit, but then all of a sudden the avalanche of momentum takes over. And we could always see it in a football game. You can kind of feel it when it happens in a football game. This thing with the Islanders last night had started in the second period and went all the way through. And the fact that they scored 3 goals with under 3 minutes to go in the game.
Well, I mean, under incredible. Like 2:10 or something. I mean,
one was an empty netter, but, and then everybody got a little bit of perturbed that Gensel, threw it into the net, emphatically. I mean, that's what they get upset by. But, that's the hockey, that's the unwritten rules. And, look, the Islanders are a tough team to play against. I know that personally from the way my team has struggled against them. So I would think that they would come back and they will have that place rocking on, was it Thursday night?
Yes, Thursday night. I mean, it would have been great if they could have come back 1-1 and they were right there. But just in watching that game, this is one of those things where you're like, if you didn't pay attention to it and you saw that they blew that lead, you're like, what a disaster. How could that happen so late in the game? I mean, this was a gradual situation. They were, completely and utterly. I'd never seen a team with a 3-goal lead look that overmatched, immediately after taking the 3-goal lead. That was it. It was done. They were just, it felt like they were losing the game with a 3-goal lead.
I don't know if you saw the in-between, I guess it's in between periods, whatever, the interview with Rod Brendamore, their coach for the Carolina.
I didn't see it, no.
He was like, we got to turn it up. He's talking about turning it up to MM, and they took it to another level. I mean, you could see it. The Islanders had a hell of a time just trying to get anything going and trying to get the puck in the other end of the ice. The Islanders only had 12 shots on goal.
I know. I mean, it was... There were times where you'd put on the game and think that Carolina was on a power play for 5 minutes, but it was 5-on-5. I mean, that's how bad it was, but they still should have found a way to come back and steal that game and come back 1-1 and then anything could happen. But this is, at this point, I mean, I hate to say it, but the Islanders will be fortunate to get a win in this series. Because when they're moving the puck around, it's guys like Gensel and Aho, and then obviously Burns is such a pain in the ass as a defenseman. They're so skilled. Gensel coming over the trade deadline. He's got, obviously, Stanley Cup experience now, too, with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're just built. They went all in.
Yeah, they have, like, I think they have either like 13 or 15, like, free agents on this team next year.
They're just so, yeah, they went all in. I mean, it was almost like how the San Diego Padres went all in because the owner was sick, but it didn't work out for them. That's sort of like what the Carolina Hurricanes did here. And by the way, you know what sucks about this, too, is it was so quiet in that building. The Islanders are up 3-0. It didn't even feel like a playoff atmosphere. I was thinking this will be great. The Islanders will lull them to sleep. You know, this whole place is not a... They got a decent fan base, but it's not like, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Bruins or the Flyers or the Rangers or whatever. And it, I was like, man, like this just silence them. Get home 1-1. And it's just after that first goal, it sort of woke them up, and they were just... It was just a matter of time. And to go from, you know, to be the Nick Islander combo fan.
Oh, God.
To go from the euphoria that you had at the end of the Nick game to flip it over and watch that team choke it away so quickly. I mean, that's why I couldn't go to sleep. This is one of those you talk about all the time, how you can't go to sleep because, like, the athlete in you, after some of these games, you're just, like, thinking about it.
To like 12:15 last night.
Right. So, like, I'm the same way after this, and I'm tossing and turning, and then Elvis comes into the bed. Sometimes he'll come upstairs and go into the bed. I had to move him over, and then he's snoring and smacking me with his paw. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't go to sleep.
I get it.
I'm rolling over. I'm hitting the clock. I'm like, oh, God. All right. So now it's 11:10. How many hours is that until my alarm goes off? And then, of course, so this is just classic. So I decide to put my alarm like 20 minutes later because I'm like, listen, I stayed up. I know everything that happened, right? Like, I just, there's a couple things I need to watch when I come in. But I'll sleep 20 minutes extra. Maybe that'll give me some time. So today, because of the great Ray Katina Mercedes, they'll come and we'll do like a little car swap when one of our cars needs service. So Gina's car needs service. So I'm driving Gina's car in today. She knows I'm driving her car in today, right? I get in the car. No gas in the car, like 20 miles left to empty. And I was like, think about it. So I'd already like I 20 minutes later than I normally am. And now I got to stop at a goddamn Bolero on the side of Sunrise Highway to fill up her frickin' tank. I almost called her. And like when I got in the car at whatever it was, 4:15, 4:20, I almost called her and said, are you kidding me? You knew I had to drive it to the city, then hand the car off to the guy who then has to drive it to New Jersey, then drive it back here, and then I'd bring it back home, and you left me with 20 miles to empty? And I said, I thought to myself, you know, maybe I should ask her. You know, maybe I ask her, is there gas in the car? I'm like, nah, she can't possibly leave me with an empty tank.
Oh, she did. She did.
She did. Let's go to Vinny in Belmore. What's going on, Vinny?
How you doing? Boomer and Gio.
What's happening, Vinny?
Listen, as far as the Islanders are concerned, if you look back in the 1980s Islanders, the average age is about 26. This team's average age is about 28. I think they're shot. They're too old, and I blame it on Lamoriello. He should have done more youth. He signed some of these ridiculous contracts.
Well, all right, like ridiculous contracts like what?
Well, I mean, extending, we extended a couple of contracts. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Pagiot and Horvat, but I mean,
he traded for those guys. He also traded for Romanoff, and those guys have all turned out to be really good players for you. I mean, you know, basically what he did is he traded first-round draft picks for established players and players that were and are in their prime. That's what he did, and that's what makes you guys so competitive.
Yeah, but the problem is it's matchups too. Now, I mean, the Islanders play that pain in the ass game. They are slow. They want to get you in the mud. They want to grind you down. But the problem is you got teams at the top of the conference like the Rangers, like the Hurricanes that are so skilled, they're so fast, they're so crisp on their power play, and it's just they can't. Eventually, they're going to lose the game. You know,
but I will say this. You don't think, for any of these playoffs in either of these leagues, And you can see how physical the Sixers and the Knicks are. I mean, you know, put hockey sticks and put them on ice, they'd be running each other into the boards. That's sure. how physical it is right now in the NBA. Look, they beat the Capitals 4-1. They play again tonight, the Rangers. But I'm not sitting here thinking, you know, we're sweeping anybody. I'm just thinking here, like, man, just get through this game and just win the game. That's all that matters. And the Rangers are skilled. They are fast. They are physical. And they have the goaltending. So they're good. But like even like last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs came back and beat the Boston Bruins. Bruins beat the hell out of them in the first game. But there is a pride that every one of these athletes for every one of these teams has that, you know, will show up somewhere along the line. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders were able to win game three. I wouldn't be surprised if the 76ers were able to win game three.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.